Welcome to a very special episode 12 of The Nostalgia Machine, a bi-weekly podcast dedicated to rediscovering obscure pop culture artifacts. I'm your host, Josh Hernandez. For this episode, we're going to switch things up a bit. We'll go over a brief introduction to our topic and then transition to a conversation about the topic with my good friend Stephanie. As you're no doubt aware from the podcast title, we will be remembering Where on Earth is Carmen Sandiego. If you grew up in the 80s or 90s, then you will undoubtedly be familiar with Carmen Sandiego. While she's not in the spotlight anymore, she was rather prominent in the 90s. Carmen Sandiego started out as a PC game in the mid-80s. The original game was so well received that it spawned a series of sequels. I distinctly remember learning about her through one of the PC games. My parents would take me to the local library to check out books and play on the one computer they had available. I must have been around 5 or 6 years old. I remember playing Math Blaster and Carmen Sandiego, although I had no idea what I was doing with the latter game. For anyone unfamiliar with the game, or Carmen Sandiego in general, it was a series of educational mystery games that taught you geography and history. In the game, you would play as a detective working for the fictional Acme Detective Agency. The gameplay involved you interviewing people and putting together clues to track down the elusive master thief, Carmen Sandiego. Carmen was recognizable for her bright red trench coat and a matching wide-brim hat. As the leader of a criminal organization known by the acronym VILE, she would often steal famous paintings, landmarks, and more. Originally owned by the company Broderbund, the initial PC game Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego was initially sold along with a copy of the World Almanac and Book of Facts. Throughout the game, you would be given clues such as the baggage clerk at the hotel saw Carmen Sandiego departing on a plane with a red, white, and black flag. Another clue might also be that a person matching the description talked about how she wanted to hike over the Gran Chaco Plain. It was up to you to narrow down the possible destination until you caught up with Carmen. Overall, it was a pretty interesting idea, even if I wasn't totally into it back then at the age of 5. I just wanted something with action. In any event, the series of games were so popular that they spawned a game show on public broadcasting and an animated series on Fox. Before I began researching for this episode, I was much more familiar with the game show. The fast-paced energy, the bright colors, and the a cappella group that sang the theme song are all ingrained in my mind. So, when my friend Stephanie brought up the cartoon, the memories of this show came flooding back. For some reason, I had completely forgotten about the cartoon, and that is going to be the specific topic of this episode. In 1990, the Children's Television Act was brought into existence. This act required all full-service TV stations to broadcast at least 3 hours of educational programming per week. While the act was poorly regulated at the beginning, its requirements grew increasingly more and more demanding. In order to meet these requirements, Fox began broadcasting Where on Earth is Carmen Sandiego? The cartoon was produced by Deke Corporations LP and aired from 1994 to 1999 on the Fox Kids programming block. If you haven't already, I recommend checking out episode 3 of this podcast for my short history on the Fox Kids network. Where on Earth is Carmen Sandiego was successful during its initial broadcast and even won a Daytime Emmy for Outstanding Children's Animated Program in 1995. Broderbund, the company behind the PC game, required approval of every script submitted by Fox. Reportedly, Broderbund was concerned with the violent content in other Fox children's shows such as X-Men and Power Rangers. The show has been released on VHS and DVD at various points since the 90s. The DVDs, however, did not sell very well and are currently out of print as far as I can tell. Luckily, if you're curious about watching the episodes, the show is currently available to stream for free on Tubi as of the recording of this podcast episode. And now, without further ado, let's transition into the main focus of this episode. Join me as I sit down with my friend Stephanie as we remember, where on earth is Carmen Sandiego? Stephanie, say hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
How long have I known you, Steph?
Like maybe a year or like 10.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been like a decade, okay? You're practically toddlers.
So I know we went through like a bunch of different topic ideas, you know, for having you on the podcast, and we eventually decided to go with Where on Earth is Carmen Sandiego? And I thought it was funny because you brought up the cartoon, and like for me it's like the opposite. Like I remember the game show more than I remember the cartoon. Is that weird?
I remember the cartoon more because I remember being really excited when I was little to like watch the cartoon. It was on KPBS like really early in the morning on Saturdays. But I don't remember the game show. I don't remember the game. I was asking my brother, and actually he remembers the video game and doesn't remember the cartoon.
I'm not going to lie and say that I completely don't remember the cartoon, but it's like one of those things where like I remember seeing a few episodes here and there. But did you watch it religiously?
No, I would watch it whenever I got up early enough to watch it because it was on pretty early on Saturdays. So I would say I would end up watching it like every other Saturday, really, whenever I would wake up on time. But I would try to wake up early just to watch that because I used to think it was really cool that she was always getting away. I was like, oh my God, I really like this character. She like can always like outsmart everyone.
Yeah, she is kind of an interesting character in that regard. Like, it's kind of weird to see a villain be the protagonist.
Right? Yeah.
I remember the PC game, like, just like your brother.
Yeah, he says that he remembers playing the video game at school. Like, it was an educational type thing. I'm like, I don't remember that. I don't remember ever playing video games, but I do remember the cartoon. And the cartoon I used to think was awesome. Her red shoes were iconic to me. That's where my love of heels came from.
Oh my goodness. I was looking up the show. So the cast of voice actors for this show. Carmen Sandiego is voiced by Rita Moreno, who apparently is like a really big deal. She's like one of the last surviving actors from the golden age of Hollywood. She was in Singing in the Rain, The King and I, West Side Story, the original and the newer one, the 2021 version.
Wow. I remember the name Rita Moreno. I didn't realize that she was the main character.
Yeah. So she played Carmen Sandiego, and then the girl, because there's the brother and sister. And yeah, they're like the detectives that try to capture Carmen. And Ivy, the girl, is played by Jennifer Hale. I don't know if you've heard of her. Yeah, she's like one of the most prolific voice actors in the industry. Like, it's a pretty small industry, but she has like her resume is just like, it's mind-boggling. Like, she's done so much stuff, like cartoons, video games.
Interesting. So this must have been one of her like earliest things.
I would assume so. Yeah. Yeah, mid to late 90s. Yeah, she was probably just starting out. The brother, Zach, he's voiced by Scott Minville. I'm not too familiar with him. And then finally, this is the one that I want. I came close to texting you because tell me, Stephanie. So do you remember the chief?
Yeah, he's the head on the screen.
When you were rewatching that, did you recognize that voice?
Oh my God, no. Who is it?
It's Squidward.
No. Oh my God, really?
Like, as soon as I hit play and the show came on, first episode, and I'm like, wait a second, that's Squidward.
But you know what? To be fair, though, you have watched SpongeBob much more recently than I have.
Yeah, that's true.
So it does make sense, but I cannot believe it's the same actor.
I had to look him up just to make sure that I wasn't hearing things, but like it's unmistakable. Like I couldn't watch the episodes without thinking like that Squidward.
I mean, he's so cranky in SpongeBob. It's so funny because like the opposite type of character.
Yeah, he's kind of like a mixture between Zordon from Power Rangers and like, I don't know, but he's a bit of a goofball and he's just like, ooh. Were there, like, before you started rewatching the episodes, like, were there any episodes that came to mind, like, or was it all just kind of like a blur?
It's all kind of really a blur because, you know, like, I was just a kid at the time. But, like, the general idea of, like, these two kids trying to, like, find this like character and she's so sophisticated and she always beats them and she always wins, but like she's not really a bad guy because like even in my memory I don't remember her ever being the kind of person that would like cause harm to anyone really, which actually rewatching it as an adult I can say, well, maybe she would cause harm to people with some of the stunts she did. But at the time, I was just like, it was more of a sensation of like, she's so cool. And these two are always trying to get her, but she's too smart for them.
Yeah, she has kind of like an Inspector Gadget sort of feel to her. Like the part where she, I think it's in like the intro for the show where she kind of like flies backward and then like she's got like a hang glider attachment in her coat. And it's like, that's such an Inspector Gadget thing to do. Like, she's always, like, two steps ahead of everybody else.
She seemed like such a smart character at the time. I was always like, oh, my God, I want to be just like her.
So what happened? Where did the dream
derail? I don't know. I think I got scared of going to jail for for stealing things.
For stealing the Mona Lisa's smile or, like, the pyramids.
Or I think she also stole, what was it, Van Gogh's eyes.
Oh, did she?
It was like a painting that he did of himself. She steals his eyes and then the Mona Lisa smile. Like she's something.
Even as a kid, I thought she was pretty cool as well. And I think she sort of sparked my interest in sophisticated women that coincidentally also run away from me and hide.
Well, that character specifically runs away from everywhere. That's kind of the whole point.
Yeah. In the cartoon also, I think she's supposed to be an ex-agent.
Yeah, she is.
What's the name of the agency?
Is it same? Yeah, it's the same as, what is it, Looney Tunes?
Acme. So yeah, she's in the cartoon, she's an ex-agent who now kind of like she went rogue.
Yeah.
And now she runs, it's called Vile, V-I-L-E. That's her organization.
Well, I would choose a different name.
I think it's kind of like it's supposed to be a parody of like James Bond. I don't know if you know that, but James Bond, his arch nemesis is called Spectre, and it's all acronyms as well.
I have not actually like watched all the James Bond movies. I watched probably like the last two.
Oh, because of Daniel Craig?
No, because I wanted to go to movies and eat popcorn and nachos. It's like the whole Saturday morning cartoon thing. Like you have to have like something sweet when you're like watching. Otherwise, it's no fun.
So, you know, one of the things that always stood out to me with Carmen Sandiego, not just the cartoon, but the whole intellectual property, the names of the bad guys, like they're always some sort of like pun.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that? But I was looking at the list of all the like the names. Some of these puns are hilarious. Like there's Abe L. Body. There's Al Loy.
Mm-hmm.
Auntie Bellum.
I think one of the professors also that was like one of her agents was named really funny. I forget the name though.
There's Clay Tandori. Detritus. And then there's a treasure hunter and he's like this really big dude and his name is Fortune Hunter because he's really fat. Fortune Hunter.
You know, I always thought that the name of the show was named because she was from San Diego. I thought the name itself was a pun.
I did too. So like, where does that come from anyway? Like, is it just like that's her last name and that's it?
Or? That's what I assume, but I don't think it has anything to do with the city. I always thought when I was little, I thought it had to do with the city.
I think it might just because like it's a geographical show, like to teach kids geography and history. So I'm guessing it probably does.
Oh.
It's much more likely that it does than it doesn't.
I wonder why they didn't call her like Carmen, New York City or something.
Because everything takes place in New York City. We need something out here in San Diego.
You know, I actually was like watching one of the episodes and I could have sworn one of the detectives was Detective Gordon from Batman. He looks just like the character.
Oh, like the drawing, the animation
yeah,
style?
Yeah, like he looked just like him. Like, I was like, impressive.
Maybe he asked for like a transfer from Gotham.
Yeah, it was maybe a cameo.
A cameo?
He just cameoed.
So, Steph, you're going to get a kick out of this name. So one of the other henchmen, he's a judge turned criminal.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Judge R.B. Trader. R.B. Trader.
Well, I imagine the writer sitting there, like, just having fun with, like, creating these names. Be like, I know what would be really funny.
Lee Galese. So first name is Lee, last name is Galese. Lee Galese.
Oh, I get it.
Oh, that's Carmen Sandiego's lawyer. I didn't even know she had a lawyer.
It's Lee Galese. I mean, I'm sure he would tell her that what she was doing was committing crimes.
Well, most likely that Lee Galese is also a probably like disbarred by this point. They're a rogue attorney as well.
He broke the code of professional conduct.
Yeah. Paige Turner. That's another one for you. Paige Turner is a vile agent who is a world-renowned expert on literature and loves playing out crimes from famous novels.
Wow. That's a good name. However, I don't believe this show was ever in writing. Like, it was never, like, a book or anything. So, otherwise, that would have been an extra funny pun.
Yeah, maybe. Did you know there's, like, a bunch of notable guest cameos? James Avery, Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Wow. Did you know that he went to UCSD?
Yeah, I did, actually. And he was actually, he did a lot of voice work because he was also the Shredder on the original 80s 90s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So yeah, James Avery, Jim Belushi was also in an episode. Tim Curry was in 3 episodes.
I can't picture Jim Belushi in it. Like, I need to see this episode.
Some of these names I don't remember. Maurice LaMarche, he's the one who played Brain from Pinky and the Brain.
Oh, I love
so
him.
So he's a voice actor. You know, I could see why he would be on there. Did you watch this show with your brothers or would you watch it alone?
I tried to watch it with Gio, my 7-year-old. And yeah, he was more interested in like YouTube videos. So I watched it alone.
Too educational.
It was too educational. I didn't realize actually how educational this show was. Like, I didn't realize that it was like, let me give you random facts and let's go over history. Benjamin Franklin did this. And it's like, who made the like poem for Paul Revere? And you're like, oh my God, I didn't realize. I thought that was interesting. Like, I didn't realize like when I was little, they were trying to teach me something because I just thought she looked cool.
Really? Like, that's the first thing that I noticed, which is why I don't remember the show, because I was like, this sounds a lot like learning. I'm going to tune out.
No, I didn't even realize they were trying to make me learn anything. I was just like, oh my God, I love her outfit.
Yeah, no, I distinctly remember having that thought go through my head. I was like, oh, this is learning. I do plenty of that at school.
But you know what? When I was little, I love like learning shows anyways. Like, I used to be like a fanatic of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Oh.
So it would be up my alley, but I didn't realize it was educational until as an adult I watched it. I was like, oh.
Oh, wow. I remember reading somewhere that the theme song to the cartoon mm-hmm. is actually, it's a composition from Mozart, but they just like they took the melody and they just added lyrics over it. So it's kind of mm-hmm. interesting how there's like so many tiny little Easter eggs that as a kid, like they go over your head. And then as an adult, you're like, oh, did you watch the Stonehenge episode?
Probably. I think I finished watching the whole first season, so I saw it probably.
Do you remember like which one stood out to you? Like what was like an episode that you were like, oh, okay, like this is like pretty interesting.
There was one actually where they did like a two-part episodes where Carmen Sandiego somehow manages to go back in time and then make sure that Paul Revere like trips so that he doesn't alert the British are coming. And then she steals the key from the kite that Benjamin Franklin was trying to do his experiments on. All these little things that I thought were so cool, because even as a child, kind of like, what would have happened if history was different like that? And then like their like boss ends up like he's on a screen or some server or something, because technology hasn't happened the way it's supposed to, then her changing history makes the whole thing change so that he stops existing. And then they're like, oh my God, we're going to get stuck in the past. It was just, it's really interesting. If there's no technology, then she doesn't have technology either. So all her like gloves that like expand and her like flying gliders that she has in her coat just wouldn't happen.
What was she trying to accomplish by messing with the past?
She was trying to steal things that didn't exist. That was like her point. She was making them not exist so she can easily steal.
Huh. I gotta watch that. You said it was a two-part?
Yeah, it was like a two-part episode. It was like 13, I think, or episode. Yeah, it was up there.
That sounds pretty interesting. But I'm still trying to wrap my head around why she's like, you know, messing around with like the space-time continuum. That's just so weird. Like,
the writers were probably trying to teach physics or something.
But I mean, but that's like science fiction. It's not.
Yeah, but it's kind of interesting because, like, for example, they were talking about the poem written about Paul Revere, and they actually like quote some of the poem, and then they ask you, hey, what was the rest of the poem? It was like, let me tell you the tale of, and I was like, oh my God, this would have been so easy. And as a child, I was just like, whatever. Okay. I mean, it's commercial time. I'm going to get up and go get cereal.
Can I just say, I think it's beyond a doubt that Carmen Sandiego is a kleptomaniac. Like, she has a serious stealing problem that she can't help. She cannot help herself. Like, she's got to steal. She's going back in time to steal crap, like, at the expense of reality. Like, okay, like, you've got a problem. Like, you need to sit down and have an intervention. It's one thing to try to steal, like, the Mona Lisa. Okay, I get that. Like, you could probably sell it or whatever on the black market. But going back in time and, like, messing around with that sort of stuff, like, that's on another level.
Her whole thing is always, I'm the best, and I'm going to prove it. I'm the best at stealing.
Yeah, she's definitely got, I don't know if I want to say something to prove, but she's definitely, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, she's trying to, like, prove to her ex-employers that she's better at doing this than they are.
Yeah, but she does it in style. Like, I know she's, like, an anti-heroine, but I kind of like her.
And here's another thing. Okay, so if she's stealing these like expensive paintings and famous historical landmarks and all that, is she like selling them? Because she's clearly not buying new clothes. Like, she just wears the same red outfit every single time.
It could be different red outfits that just all look the same.
So she's like Matlock. Like, she's got the same suit, the same outfit, but...
Well, actually, they say that the smartest people have their clothes already, like, planned out so that they really don't think about it. So it's not a decision that has to be made. So you can put your energy elsewhere.
I'm probably the stupidest person alive because I color code. I'm always like staring in the closet. I'm like, what am I going to wear today? Is it purple? Is it blue? Is it green, yellow? Like what's my mood today? And Carmen Sandiego, it's like all, you know, like her mood. She's a fiery Latina. I could tell.
Well, given her name.
Is she supposed to be Latina?
I would assume so, given her name.
Yeah. Well, and she's got the olive oil complexion. Her skin is like, you know, like a nice Mediterranean tan, and she's got like dark black, long black hair.
That's true. And it's kind of wavy.
Is it?
Yeah, it's not straight.
Have you seen the newer versions of Carmen? Like they redesigned her look.
I have not. I think I saw it like online, like the look that they went for it, and she just seemed like childish.
I was gonna say she seems more like a Dora the Explorer type of character. Like, yeah. She seems like she's in her teens.
Yeah, whereas like the cartoon, she was just like this sophisticated older woman, like not older, but she was like, you know, a grown-up. So as a child, you're like, I want to be like her when I grow up. I'm sure you felt that.
of course.
But yeah, when I saw the reboot, like the picture, I was like, it just seems like they are changing the character, and I don't particularly like the way they changed her.
Me neither, but I get the impression that they did it to sort of like not sexualize these characters that are aimed at kids anymore. If you look at a lot of these like movies and cartoons from the 80s and the 90s, they were like, some of them were actually like pretty sexualized. Carmen Sandiego is in it. I'm not going to sit here and say like she's super sexualized, because she's not, but she's definitely, she's very like confident. And like you said, this like mature woman. And I'm just wondering if that's what they were trying to do, like make it less sexy, if that makes sense.
Maybe.
To sort of like appeal to younger girls in a, like let them know, hey, like you don't have to.
Yeah, because that's true. Like a lot of, even the like X-Men cartoon that was on back then, like they're all always wearing these really tight like suits. Or like I think the Mortal Kombat games, like sometimes they would be wearing like mini shorts and stuff, and I'd be like, I didn't particularly play the games, but I saw my brothers playing them, and I was like, oh, that's an interesting look, like who would dress like that. Yeah, I don't feel like Carmen Sandiego had that kind of vibe going on, but like at the time, I mean, she probably would have been like a conservative character as opposed to everything else on the market.
Yeah, I feel like parents are a little bit more hypersensitive to the whatever is on shows these days versus back then. It's like, who cared what they were watching? And there's definitely more like control over that. And I'm just wondering if maybe that's why they sort of redesigned her, or maybe they just wanted to go with like a brand new look. Who knows? Maybe I'm just like reading it into it a little too much, but she definitely, like she wasn't like hypersexualized, but she definitely had like an element of like, yeah, this is a strong, sophisticated woman who knows what she wants and isn't afraid to go out and get it. And as a little kid, I'm like, oh, wow. Marry me, Carmen Sandiego.
I'm sure she should be Carmen Hernandez.
Carmen Sandiego Hernandez? Or Carmen Hernandez San Diego.
I don't know. Maybe you would have taken her last name. She was very assertive.
And now the newer one is like, I would feel
like a pedophile. Like
a dirty old man. I would feel like a dirty old man, because she just, they de-aged her like a good, what, like 20 years?
Yeah, like they took away the element of, I know what I want, I know what I'm doing.
And she was a step ahead of everyone else too, like, because she'd been around the block, like she's experienced in this field. So it's like that's the reason why she was so difficult to capture, because she had been in the business for a while, I'm assuming. You know who she kind of reminds me of? The Riddler.
Because she leaves clues all the time?
Yeah, she leaves clues, and a lot of times they're like puns or like some sort of reference to like something else, but you have to like read it in a very specific way. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of like the Riddler. Like he likes to play around with his the people that are chasing him.
That's true.
But it's never enough to like leave a clue. Like he's got to leave a clue in a way that like there's this like artistic flourish to the way he delivers his clues. He delivers his clues in the way she delivers her clues as well.
Yeah, that's true. I think there was one where she tells the detectives that are after her, I'll be in the river that's not a river. And then she like disappears. And they're like, what does that mean? What's a river that's not a river? And then they like go into the whole history of like, they say, oh, in Japanese, it's this. In German, it's this. In Portuguese, it's this. Wait, what about Rio de Janeiro? Let's go there. And you see, like, all this, like, history. Okay, Brazil is one of the biggest countries in South America. It's like, okay.
It's like a whole history lesson and, like, art lesson and everything all rolled up together in, like, a 5-minute thing.
Just figuring out this one clue is like it's really extensive. And you're like, okay, that could mean anything, but okay.
Yeah, I know. Like if I was like the one chasing her in real life, I'd be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Like I give up. you could keep the painting.
I don't think anyone would have gotten those clues except for the characters that were meant to get them.
Well, actually, you know, when I was watching the cartoon episodes, there were a lot of things that I did know. Hmm. I would say maybe it was like a good, maybe like 2/3. I don't like to toot my own horn, but like it was a good 2/3 of the clues I was getting.
Oh, okay, smarty pants.
I was remembering one of the episodes where they were, oh, I think it was the Stonehenge episode where she leaves a message that says, let's go caves. And they're wondering, what the heck does that mean? Like, let's go caves. Like, yeah, let's go caves. And then they started saying, oh, no, like there's a bunch of caves in France with like ancient cavemen artwork on them with like bowls and like stuff mm-hmm. like that. And one of them is in it's called the Lascaux Caves. And so they were like, oh, so it's not Let's Go Caves, it's Lascaux Caves. So she must be there. And then they just like, you know, magically teleport to the Lascaux Caves. And like, sure enough, she was there. But I thought it was interesting how like, you know, again, the puns, like she's always got to have like, it's not enough to deliver a clue. She's got to deliver it with style.
Yeah, she does that a lot. Like, I think in one show, she like was trying to trap the detectives. So she gave them clues on where to find her. And then she trapped them. And they're like, what are you doing? She's like, well, this way you can't stop me when I write my like bestseller book on the best thieves or the best robberies ever. And she's like, see you on the bestseller list. She like walks away. In another episode, she tries stealing the Hollywood sign. Like, she tries stealing the show. That's, like, the whole thing is, like, she's going to steal a show.
Oh, my goodness.
It just seemed like she always craved that spotlight. Like, it being in style was, like, her thing.
You know, and more I can understand why you were attracted to this show.
What? What do you mean? Do explain. Can you elaborate?
Kind of sounds like you. Trying to steal the spotlight, being a mature, sophisticated woman. Yes, and, like, yeah.
Yes, I am.
Which, by the way, for the listeners, because I don't think we talked about this. What exactly are you wearing, Stephanie?
So it's Saturday today. And so I decided, because it's not a work day, I'm going to stay home with my son and watch cartoons and enjoy my Saturday. So I am wearing my cotton like headband that has bunny ears on it.
It's a pink headband with bunny ears on it.
The intention is that a little bit later I'm gonna put on a face mask to make my skin gorgeous, so I need to like keep my hair out of my face.
All right, well, I guess we should wrap this episode up unless you have something to add.
No, I'm kind of curious because our memories are very different, and when I did ask my brother Well, I didn't ask him. What happened was that he called me for something else and asked me what I was doing. I was watching Carmen Sandiego. He told me that he remembers the video games. He does not remember the show. And I remember the show, but don't remember the game show. So I'm kind of curious, does anyone have really memories of the show itself or of the game, like the video game?
I think I remember playing the PC game, and this was probably early 90s. And I distinctly remember my parents taking me to the public library, and they had what was it called? Like Math Blaster?
Oh, like yes. The
little green. Uh-huh. He's like a little green astronaut or alien or something. Mm-hmm. And he would like float around. And the other game that they had there was Carmen Sandiego. So I remember playing it. And I mean, honestly, like I was like 8 years old. I was like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Like a lot of these clues and stuff. Like I had no idea what was going on. But I like the just like the animations and stuff. So I do remember playing it and then later watching the cartoon. But yeah, just like in retrospect, the game show kind of stood out to me the most. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when I talk to people, the game show is the one that kind of gets brought up the most.
Yeah, my brother would have been playing the game like late 90s. It would have been like 2000 or 99-ish that he would have been playing that game. That's when he would have been about 8.
Well, yeah, let me know about your brothers if they do. And like if you convince them to watch the Carmen Sandiego show, the cartoon, and see what they think.
My youngest brother saw me watching it. And he was born in 97. And he's like, so what are you doing? I'm like, I'm watching the show. And he looks at it and looks at me and is like, so I'm guessing you watched this when you were 2? I'm like, wow. I guess he was basing himself on the animation he absolutely had no interest in seeing it.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Stephanie, for joining me for this special episode of The Nostalgia Machine, where we reminisce about where on earth is Carmen Sandiego?
She's not in San Diego. Pro tip.
Well, that does it for our episode. Feel free to reach out to me on Twitter and Instagram at RingTheMachine or email me at NostalgiaMachinePodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to know if you remember this show. And if you'd like to share a childhood memory, please send me a voice message to have it featured on a future episode. Just visit the show's Anchor profile at anchor.fm/nostalgiamachine and click on the message button or follow the link found in the episode description. See you next time. The Nostalgia Machine, produced, written, and hosted by me, Josh Hernandez. Music credits, Synthwave by Ilgot. Miami Nights by Ben Bainey. Licensed through premiumbeat.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe on Anchor FM, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or Google Podcasts.